The latest news and analysis is brought to you every Monday to Thursday.
Live
in the Israel Update with Anthony Reich, only on Chai FM.
Good afternoon, Anthony Reich. How are you?
Very good, Kathy. Thank you. Good afternoon. Shavua Tov. How are you guys doing today?
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Anthony, I was saying earlier, what are the different tricks methods, techniques that people have for having a successful fast? And don't tell me not eating or drinking, because I know that's how you fast. But maybe you can just keep that in your mind. And just before we wrap up with you, you can let us know. Because there is news coming out of Israel, and that is that the IDF was seen to be making preparations to destroy the home of the terrorist who stabbed Ari Fuld to death yesterday in Gush Etzion. So this seems like very, very quick.
Well, it's very quick, and of course, the action is quite controversial. And for the people who are not perhaps familiar with the story, 45-year-old Ari Fuld was stabbed to death outside a supermarket in Gush Etzion, went on a shopping trip, seems to have been chosen randomly, just in the wrong place at the wrong time, a 16-year-old a Palestinian from the village of Yatta, not far from Hebron, was responsible for stabbing him to death. Ari Fuld, in typical fashion, even after he was stabbed, jumped over the fence, started to run towards his attacker, shot in his direction. It seems as if though that attracted the attention of other passers-by, and the attacker was shot by another passerby. He was disabled at the scene. Unfortunately, Ari Fuld could not survive his injuries, was so seriously stabbed that he later died of his injuries. A very, very shocking incident, an incident that has left us really bewildered right before Yom Kippur. I wouldn't say unexpected in the sense that, you know, we've obviously, unfortunately, become very used to terror attacks. But nonetheless, it is unexpected. You know, every time this happens, you know, we hope that it won't happen again. And so each time there is another attack like this, it comes somewhat unexpectedly. And the IDF was seen today. First of all, there was an action taken to confiscate work permits that had been issued by the Israeli authority to allow members of the terrorist's family to work in Israel. Those work permits were all withdrawn and confiscated from the family members. And also, the IDF was seen making preparations to destroy the house of the attacker, of the terrorist. This is an action that we have seen in the past. It is a highly controversial action. It's considered, you know, to be contrary to good practice, international law, call it whatever you want. I don't think there's really anything that governs this type of activity, particularly when you have a 16-year-old carrying out such a stabbing attack. But certainly the IDF looking to make this to allow the family to feel that there are consequences for the attack.
And
what's interesting for me. Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, this is Simon. It's great to be speaking to you. I've heard you on the radio many, many, many times. I've always wanted to whiz through the line and pop out on the other side, but this is as good as it gets. So great to be speaking to you. Just a question. Isn't the complicated fact in this case the fact that the mother alerted Tzahal to the impending attack before it happened?
Actually, I mean, you're just taking the words out of my mouth, because that for me was a very interesting aspect. I mean, clearly his mother had an inclination, had an inkling that this was, that all was not okay with her son. She seemed to have some sort of information which led her to believe that such an attack might be carried out by him. She went along to a checkpoint nearby the village to make them aware of the fact that she had this concern, as she put it, that such an attack might be carried out by her son. Unfortunately, the notification came too late in the case of Ari Fuld. And so certainly there's an element of controversy around that, by the virtue of the fact that clearly this was somebody who had information that if she had passed it on a little sooner, might have prevented the innocent death of Ari Fuld.
Very interesting. You know, when I hear about this, and also about the timing, Anthony, you know, nothing in my world and in my universe happens just randomly. And when I look at this, I just think, you know, this terrorist, he was the vehicle. He was the vehicle, but, you know, perhaps Ari's time was just up. And I know that it sounds very, very heartless.
Wow, Kathy, there are a lot of us who don't go along with that.
Okay, that's okay. That's okay. But it's like this. If I have a stick and I hit the dog, right, the dog doesn't attack me, the dog attacks the stick. That's an analogy. This is like in the greater scheme of things, and especially at this time of the year, we need to look at these things from all different aspects. That's what I'm saying.
I think this time of the year does cause us to kind of think, especially when you have, you know, the text from Rosh Hashanah, from the On Tani Tokef, you know, where we ask who will live and who will die, who will die by the sword and who will die by water and who will become more wealthy. You know, we ask ourselves these questions. And then during that period, in the days that follow that, we have people who are dying in the same ways they die throughout the rest of the year, one could argue. And yet it just takes on a different level of significance, sure, because of this time of the year that we're in, where we're asking ourselves these questions, where we are having this period of introspection, where we are thinking about what our fate for the next year will be. I think that, you know, it just takes on a different level of significance, which perhaps in a different time of year wouldn't be there. So, you know, I think we need to put it all into its perspective. Unfortunately,
and it helps us cope with the reality.
We've had numerous victims of terror. Numerous victims of terror during this year, unfortunately. Lone wolf attacks, some that have been orchestrated by organizations, Hamas and other organizations. We've had so many near misses. I mean, Ari Fuld himself was a great example of a near miss, because he was in the Second Lebanon War when his protective flak jacket, his bulletproof vest, saved his life, because a bullet literally lodged itself right into that bulletproof vest. And apparently the story goes that he actually kept that piece of shrapnel that was destined to take his life in that Second Lebanon War. And yet by the virtue of that protective vest that he was wearing, his life was saved. So he is a good example of someone whose life was saved and then unfortunately in the end taken unnecessarily, an innocent victim of, you know, what seems to have been a lone wolf attack. I guess that our security authorities will investigate this further in due course.
Yeah. All right. Anthony, I'm looking at the time, so I don't want to just waste too much time. Can we just talk about Netanyahu and the falasha? And the falashas?
We can talk about Netanyahu and the Falashmora, because, you know, this is also another controversial story and issue that Israel is facing. And not too long ago, the Israeli government announced that as far as the government is concerned, all of the Jews from Ethiopia, all of the Falashmora, have effectively been repatriated to Israel. I'm saying repatriated in the loosest possible sense of the word. You know, they have come home, they've returned back. And that the Israeli government had effectively put an end to their efforts to bring others who were still waiting in camps around Ethiopia and were hoping that the Israeli government would help them to come to Israel. The government said those people are effectively now no longer part of our agenda. We've done our job. We've achieved what we need to achieve by bringing the Jews from Ethiopia back to Israel. And effectively, those who are left there were considered, I suppose, for all intents and purposes, to be not Jewish. Now, that has been hugely controversial, because many of the Falashmora who have come, who have considered themselves to be Jewish, have been halachically ruled to be not Jewish. There have been some unbelievable stories about members of the same family, some of whom have been halachically declared Jewish and others have halachically been declared not Jewish, right, and therefore have been forced to convert. So now Prime Minister Netanyahu has announced that all of that they said back then is no longer the case, and that there will be another further 1,000 Falashmura who we brought back to Israel.
Fantastic. That's good news, no?
That's a good
And that's a really good way to end off before Yom Kippur. Anthony Reich, thank you so much. We'll catch you tomorrow morning with Howard Feldman on the Morning Mayhem. And thank you very, very much for standing in for Rolene Marks. Wish you an easy and a meaningful fast. What do you do to, is there anything specific? Have you got a ritual that you start before your fast? And what do you break your fast on?
I believe in drinking a lot before the fast, and I think drinking water before the fast is important. Mm. I also think that the less you think about the fast, the easier it is to fast.
That's true.
So many people are so, thinking about when they will be able to drink and counting the minutes and counting the hours down until the end of the fast. And I think if you kind of leave all of that behind and get on with thinking about what the real meaning of Yom Kippur is, I think that the fast somehow is easier. The tradition in Israel to break the fast is something really, really small. No breaking the fast parties. There is no such thing. You go home, you have something light to eat, and you build your sukkah. That is the ritual of breaking the fast. The less you eat after the fast, in effect, just, a nice glass of water or something like that, perhaps a cup of tea, something to eat. But, less is more in the case of breaking the fast. So, those are the traditions here in Israel.
Interesting.
And
how different can you get?
Exactly. So, the focus is more about committing, having the opportunity to do the first mitzvah after Yom Kippur to build your sukkah. And in fact, very, very soon after we've heard the shofar and we've all had something to drink and to eat, we hear the sounds of sukkahs being built in the night around the whole area. You just hear the banging and the clanging and everybody outdoors putting up their sukkah. So that's really the ritual after Yom Kippur. And all that's really left is for me to, first of all, beg forgiveness for those of whom I have perhaps offended in the course of my discussions during the year. You, Kathy, others that I've spoken to directly, and in fact, the listeners out there. I know that I've offended people. I know at least one person who personally told me that he was offended by some of the things that I said, so I'm sure that there are more.
No, but he's just an extremist. He's just an extremist. Anthony Reich, we got to get to news, but really, may it be an easy and a meaningful fast. Thank you for everything, and God bless
you. Amen. I wish you all a meaningful fast and a Yom Kippur, a good Yom Kippur.